Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
It's obviously a great moment for Keith Andrews. I think it's still a bit jarring for a lot of people. But I think what it is that it's also a great moment for set-piece coaches everywhere.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
It's a club that has an identity. So we produce a lot of good players and we produce a lot of good moments for the Bow supporters. Like you said, in the Aviva, the European run. Unfortunately, we didn't deliver silverware for the club, and that's my biggest regret. I'm on the record of saying that. So it would have been fantastic to have won something to, you know, show, you know, tangible silverware as a result of your efforts. But, you know, success can be defined in lots of different ways. 6 of the 8 years when I was at Bohemians, we were our time. It was different times at Bowes at that particular time because, you know, they were nearly out of business. And then Owen Heary came in, Arnold Callan first, then Owen Heary came in. Yeah. They steadied the ship. The club were probably in a little bit of better shape when I came on board. Some people don't like some of the values that what Bowes stand for.
Why do you think that is?
Listen, it's too easy to criticise the club about some of the initiatives that they've done down through the years. But it's an inclusive club. It's a club that has an identity.
It's jealousy.
Is that what it is?
I think it is.
Yeah. Daniel's a very, very clever man. But, you know, Jimmy Digman's there in the office now as well. Is a fantastic administrator and does brilliant work behind the scenes. There's lots of people. Everybody was fully united behind what we wanted to achieve.
All right, welcome back to Friday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast. Our two favourite League of Ireland hair are in, Ari Murphy and Owen Heary in situ. But we wanted to play that clip, Owen, because of Keith Long. He was in with us on Tuesday morning with a great chat with him about his career and everything. And naturally enough, we talked a lot about Bowes, given his 8 years there. But he mentions yourself in glowing tribute too. And I suppose I'm asking you to return the favour in terms of what Keith Long did for the club, because there's been a lot of love for Keith since that interview.
Absolutely. It was amazing when he went there. You know, I think listening to the interview, we took over a team that was, as I say, he steadied the ship, as in Aaron Callaghan was there. Aaron got a lot of players in when the club was struggling. We managed to develop those players and stay up in the league. And I think we were struggling for a while in maintaining a team to compete in the league. And we've done that over this couple of years. But then, you know, when I was leaving, I spoke to the board and, you know, I spoke to Keith Long. And at the time I said he was the perfect man for the job. He's been around, he knows the league inside out. And when he came in, you can see that they just progressed, got to the European games, got the cup finals. I think he mentioned himself, his regret is that he didn't win the cups and things like that. Yeah. But he's done an amazing job for it, you know. And I'm surprised that when he went, I know people were saying, you know, 7-8 years there, didn't win anything, but he was doing a fantastic job. But, you know, he's moved on and he's still, his club hold him in high esteem, and, you know, fans hold him in high esteem, and rightly so, because he's done a great job for the club.
It's amazing, really, even listening to Keith talk about his time at Waterford. And he was basically saying that they were justified in getting rid of him because he lost 6 games in a row. But funnily enough, we had Padraig Amond on the evening show this day last week, and he was lamenting the fact that Keith Long left. He said, I would love to have Keith Long stayed. And he seems to be a player's manager, but not one that wants to be loved. But it just naturally comes, there's a huge rapport built between Keith Long and the players he coaches. That seems to be the case, Barry.
Yeah, and he seems to have a lot of young players wherever he goes as well. And the thing about Waterford is you've got that Fleetwood model. So he was imposed 11 players on him last season. That, did he really want them? He probably wanted a couple of them.
Yeah. Which he mentioned as well on Tuesday.
Yeah, and like, when you've got that model, you don't get to bring in the players you actually want to bring in. When he had the time at Bowes, he brought in lots of young, great players that did. And we played them in the cup final in 2021, and he was suspended for that. He was up in the stand, but they were a crossbar away from winning that. Like, so he got that close to them, and that European run as well, it was a phenomenal run to get through 3 rounds, I think, with that team, who were kind of part time at the time, weren't they? And they had the hoodoo over Rovers as well. They seemed to beat them every year for a couple of years.
And we actually said on the show that we were surprised ourselves that Keith went at the time, because Alan Reynolds was under pressure as well in around then. And then when Keith goes, they get a few results, and it's a different table for them, you know. So, I was sorry to see him go out of the league at the time, but like, I thought he was doing a great job. I know Waterford weren't lighting the league up, but he was still doing a good job. And as he said, probably didn't have the players that he wanted in there. Maybe that would have, over the course of time, he could have done that.
You had a year, I suppose, didn't you?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
And you think it was 2011 you left?
2011 I left, yeah.
So did it become a much different club, or is it just that it's marketed differently and it feels the same now as it did when you were playing?
Well, I was signed as the goalkeeper and I ended up working in administration in the office in 2011. Wow. That's where the club had gone.
Yeah.
We had a meeting at the end of that season and basically we were on decent wages, so they were trying to get rid of us, but obviously we weren't going for nothing. So they kind of said, listen, you've got to work and do a job as well. So we kind of saw the start of that building. Daniel Lambert was in the office and the kind of start of the getting the sponsors involved, local sponsors doing that sort of side of it.
It was actually before a European game, before the TNS game that they came into us and asked us to
halfway between it.
Yeah, to rip up our contracts and not offer anything in return, like not say rip it up and give us new contracts, just rip them up and that's it. Which, you know, you're full time players, you can't do it. Yeah. But that was the start of it, that was the decline. And I know we went down and we got thumped by TNS, but people didn't see, there's a lot of fellas then that were thinking, oh, what's going on here? And that plays a lot of effect going into European games or into any game. And that was the start of where the club ended up going down that route where they were struggling money-wise. I signed back as an amateur because I was working in the club at the end itself. So, it was. You can see the progression going down. But Daniel Lambert came in. But not only Daniel, there's been a lot of people in the background. Like Lynn was there. Lynn has been there for 30-odd years and she only retired there last year. But the likes of those people in the background doing an awful lot for boss.
Yeah.
An awful lot that you don't see. Daniel Lambert is obviously the forefront because you see what he does and how he goes about it. But there's people in the background, you know, as you keep mentioning, Jimmy Dignam and things like that, that do a lot of work. O'Connor as well, who's selling lottery tickets week in, week out, Jimmy O'Connor. So it's great that they have that affiliation with the club and they've done that for years and that's starting to bring the club back and you see the crowd building year on, year on. So it's great to see that the club is thriving at the moment.
Yeah, they only went full-time buzz a little over halfway through Keith Long's stint and it was a long old stint as manager. But those people you mentioned on behind the scenes, it's like they must get so annoyed when people complain about the League of Ireland facilities and lack of progression to catch up with other leagues and all that because they're putting so much work in and people aren't necessarily seeing it and they're still annoyed about the end results.
Well, I think we're all annoyed at that because of the facilities. I mean, Bowes have been promised a new stadium since before I played there. Do you know what I mean? It's always like, oh, we're going to have this stadium, and it's going on year on. Every time I talk to people, like, when is the stadium starting? When are they going to have that? Where are they going to move to next year when the stadium gets built? So you have all these questions and, you know, there's only so many times you can give the same answer over and over and over again when you're like, you start to question yourself saying, well, when is it going to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, but Bowes are really pushing towards that and they will get there eventually, you know, and as I said, Daniel's doing a lot of work off field to get this done, as well as other people involved in the club, you know, Matt Devaney and so on, so Stephen Lambert, a whole lot of them are doing a lot of work to try to get this club, one, to make it a successful club, to get a stadium that works the clubs themselves, that it'll turn it around and have people wanting to come and enjoy it, facilities for everyone, you know, so they're doing a lot of work off field and you can see it's starting to turn, as in they have a good team that's competing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so now the next part is to try to get the stadium
done. And like Monday night in the first half is a great symbol of all that, is that like they're marketed great off the pitch. It's very attractive to support Bowes if you're only coming into the League of Ireland. They're playing good football. They're getting results. They're keeping Shamrock Rovers honest. They were excellent in the first half, particularly on Monday. 2-0 up. Had loads of other chances too. But behind the goal looks shocking.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It looks shocking.
It's been like that since we were there. But there was rumblings as well amongst supporters as well as what are we known as a club? Are we going to be that club who's sustainable, does all the stuff right off the pitch and we're doing nothing on the pitch? Like, where is all this money going?
Yeah.
Now it's going into the playing staff as well. It's gone full time and they're getting a team they can get behind as well. Can't get a ticket for Daily Mount either, can you?
No. And thank God I have a membership. Like that, they've brought in right people for it. Pat Fenlon is in there as well. You know, got Rennie in. Rennie's done well with the team because they were looking for his head during the season, they said, and probably rightly so, because the team wasn't playing well, losing games, and you know, you can see the frustration, the fans. But once you see developments on the pitch, they're all backing them, you know.
Do you think Irish clubs learn enough from each other? Like, I'm even looking at Cork City at the moment, and Jerry Nash has obviously come in, but like their lowest crowd of the season, I think, on Monday night, and banners unfurled against the excuse me, the owners, and obviously fan unrest, etc. But you know. So things are at a particular low ebb for the likes of Cork City at the moment, but they just need to look at the other models in the League of Ireland. Look what Bowes have come out of those tough times that you lads mentioned and you know, are on an upward curve. So like teams like Cork City, you'd imagine, need to just look at that example and learn from it, I guess.
Cork have had so many guys over the years. They've had about three different club names in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
They've been fan-owned, they've been millionaire-owned at the moment, but you look at Bowes, who are completely fan-owned.
Fan-owned,
the way
yeah.
they're doing it. Shamrock Rovers part owned, you've got Dermot Desmond in there, Ray Wilson, and then 50% owned by the fans as well. So there's different models to do it. Mm. But Cork, you just can't have that. Like, that's a massive catch and area. They're the only club in it, Bar Cove, in the Premier Division, and you got 1,800 at a game on Monday.
Yeah.
He hasn't gone down well with raising ticket prices down there. I don't think he can charge 25 quid into this league. It's just the way it is. Yeah. Maybe a European game, but to charge 25 quid is too much for to people to go see maybe two games a week. So it's all those sort of things that add to the club.
There was obviously another big story in League of Ireland last weekend.
I was wondering how long we could go.
Yeah, it's the elephant in the room slot that we were all talking about doing. We just don't talk about Duffer for the entire slot. Mad stuff, wasn't it? I was on air last weekend when this news broke, and when it first came through, I was like, no, that can't be right, because they're playing the next day and you're thinking the Champions League is coming in a couple of weeks against Linfield. This is obviously not true, but it emerged the WhatsApp rumours indeed were true. What was your immediate reaction, lads, when you heard?
Well, I mean, when I heard it, I was shocked as well, like yourselves. But, you know, we spoke about it here a couple of weeks ago, where you're saying, if you're constantly giving out your players, if you're constantly on telly giving out about your players, then something's going to have to happen. Either the players go, or you might end up going yourself. I didn't think he'd go this soon. I thought he'd stay for the Champions League game. I think the board, I don't know if they tried hard enough to keep him for the Champions League game. I would have said, look, see the next 2 weeks out and then see how you feel after that. I think if Ollie Bourne was still alive and he was running the club, Duffer wouldn't have gone anywhere. But this has been building over a course of time. You know, I was talking to Barry earlier and I said, when he first took over, I don't know if you remember, but one of the co-commentators sort of had a pop at one of his players, and Duffer came out after it and defended his players to the hilt and had a go at the co-commentator. And he'd done that for a while, protecting his players, and it was always us against them, and, you know, we're in this, like the way managers do to galvanise their team. And then last year when he came out on TV and he had a pop of Shane Farrell, that was sort of the start of it then, you know, hanging a player out to dry on TV, which is grand if you're only doing it once. Shane ended up leaving the club, grand, to build on it, to win the league. This year, it just seems to be repetitive where he's coming out constantly having a go at players week in, week out. And I know if I'm in that dressing room and I think, I've done all right tonight, manager comes out and slaughters on telly, it's not a nice feeling, you know. And then you go through where up in Daly Mount, the picture of him up in the grassy knoll you want with a heavy jacket, 40 degrees heat. I'm saying, why can't he sit in the stand? Do you know what I mean? So it just, everything seemed to be building. And whether that's pressure that's getting to him, I don't know. His win ratio this year, and Barry loves stats, is 30%. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? In the league. So whether he just can't get that reaction out of him, and he thought, I've had enough here, I can't do this anymore. And sometimes pressure builds like that on managers, especially after winning a league and thinking, I've signed players, I'm going to improve, I'm going to keep going. Doesn't happen.
It's pure frustration, Barry, is it, from Duff's perspective? And, like, look, we're all talking on behalf of Damien Duff on Sunday afternoon. Mm. We haven't heard from the man yet and his reasons. So we can only decide from what we know. But the guy comes in end of November, or November 2021, gets to an FAI Cup final. I know they're well beaten in the final, but he gets there. Mm. European football, the league, first league in 18 years, the attention he's brought, helped to bring to the league, and he gives it his all. And he must think, like, what more do you want from me? And after Friday night and the performance, he thought, like, I'm giving the most out of anyone at the club and I shouldn't be, and no one else is following me, so forget it. And do you not have sympathy for that feeling, if that actually is the reason he left?
No, I don't. I think that's management. You go and win a league, you've got to go and do it the next season. I think it's the first sign of trouble and he's out the door. Like, if I was a player in that dressing room on Friday night, he's saying that about professionalism and how you're effectively a pub team, he'd be disgusted. I'm sure he's saying it to get a reaction out of it, and maybe because he didn't get a reaction. Like, if somebody says that to me in the dressing room, you're biting back, aren't you?
Yeah, but you're biting back, and
maybe he didn't get that bite back from players, and he's thinking, well, these aren't the heads gone there, so maybe that's what he was looking for. But he's been brilliant for the league in terms of getting eyes on it. Somebody we've been looking to have that focal point, you needed his kind of calibre to draw that attention, grab the media by the scruff of the neck and get them shown games, get it on the radio. He's been brilliant in that, and he's successful on the pitch, won the league as well. But when it came to this season, as Owen said, just little things, getting into to beef with Rennie and Stephen Bradley. Bradley's thrown out a little grenade there and Duffer's picked it up. Like, that's management. You've got to fend off this stuff. Put Joey O'Brien out to do some interviews. Let him kind of take the flak, take some of the pressure off you. It doesn't need to be you at the front the whole time. And you just see him on the sideline. He's one of those managers that he's kicking every ball for you. Yeah. That can get really annoying as a player, can't it?
Even talking about the week break, he's saying his players are going on the drink for the week.
Yeah, yeah.
These are the professional players. You don't have to let them go for a week. 100%. You can say, no, look, I'm not giving you the week break. You stay here, you're going to train for the week. So he allowed them to go for that week, but then you can't criticise them, giving them a week off and say, oh, I'll see them in the airport and they're going to be drinking and then they're coming back, they didn't prepare right, but I had a siesta. You're not playing. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't care whether the manager had a siesta for 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is. You're not playing. These players have to be motivated, have to be. And I think Coyle came out and said, and questioned him, saying, no, we didn't do things that we prepared properly. And then training, Duffer had said that he didn't feel that the players were right in training the night before. I remember Pat used to ring me Thursday after training and say, how are the players? And we say, they're not right, Pat. Pat will have a go before the match the next day to get them right. You know, and that's what, that's how the communication comes between the players. So don't need to, you know, you don't need to put them out on TV. I haven't seen, I think Bradley this year, when he has got beaten, he's only mentioned Hounahan once. He's the only player that I think that he's had a pop at to get a reaction.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's very calm in his interviews and goes about his business perfectly.
It seemed like, and Ronan O'Gara, in fairness, before you lads were on, was saying that it can happen overnight, these decisions. And it seemed, by all accounts, that he was talking about, you know, Monday night's game on Saturday night, you know, and then the next day, the next morning, he's gone. And that Joey O'Brien was as shocked as anyone, that this, there was no indication that this was coming whatsoever. And I wonder, would you say, Owen, about him calling out players? Was he not calling out players last season a touch as well? And, you know, they won the league.
You're winning last year.
Yeah.
It's different when you're losing. It's much different, you know. And if you're getting called out, you think that the amount of players or your friends or your family are ever texting you. Well, so see what he said about you. See what he said. You know, whereas last year you can say, oh, yeah, he's saying that because we won. You know, we got a reaction. You're not winning. It's a different story. You always see the negative in it. You know, and he's going home. And I said this before from managing myself, is there's a depression if you're losing games. And he could be feeling that affects it. Even though brilliant player, everything going for him, won the league, it does take a different effect on you when you're losing games like that.
Is management for him?
Well, I think he's, when you're winning, it's for you, but when you're losing, it's difficult. So it'll be interesting to see if he does bounce back into it. Where he goes, I think his next move is a big one for him, whether he stays in this league or whether he goes somewhere else.
You've never placed a bet in your life, am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
But would you predict him going back to Shells as his next move?
No.
He can't go to another League of Ireland club. He wouldn't. I think there's a bit of a flop off it, isn't
there? As he said, he never,
But Finny Perth, in fairness, who was managing the league, like yourself, has said, like, I don't mind that he's saying that now. He might change his mind in a second.
Finny Perth said it was easier to retain the league than win it, and it's not. Do you know what
exactly.
I mean? So you can't say, you know, this is easy, this is hard. If he goes back there, I don't know how the players react, the fact that he's going back. Do you know what I mean? That's another
thing. He can't
go
back now.
No,
I thought if he was going to go back, it would be the next day. A U-turn would happen.
But why not, though? Like, look at all the success he's brought to the club.
The success, he's won one league in 4 years.
Ah, but they hadn't won a league in a long, long time.
But they have money to win a league now. So they haven't had money in the last 18 years to win leagues. Now they have money and they've won the league. So when you say all the success, it's one league. You're talking about all the success. Rovers have all the success in the last few years.
But he did take them from a low ebb and got them to Europe
and the Cup final and Europe as well. It was progression.
But what I'm saying is, like, if you go back in there now, how are the players going to react to you going back in after hanging them out to dry on the TV, leaving, and then not down there in Waterford, and then to come back just for a European game, and then who knows whether he goes again after that?
Would they be annoyed that he left the day before a game? Because people are talking about the Linfield match in 2 weeks' time in the Champions League. Is it the fact that it was 24 and a bit hours before the Waterford match?
Yeah, well, like, it's, it was between two games, so that kind of just the way it fell. But yeah, I would totally be, like, there's a massively let down as a player there. Like, he's gone into the biggest game in the last 20 years for Shells, going into that Linfield game. This is like his progression. You talk about Shells progressing. They've come from the first division, the cup final, the league, getting to the Champions League. Surely that's where he wants to be. And you want to get the team there, and the players would have got themselves up for it. So I just can't understand it. It does seem like an impulsive decision that maybe he will regret, that he didn't give himself a few days, give himself off. Don't go to the game on Monday. Let Joey take it. Take a few days to make a decision.
Yeah.
Your point's interesting on you know, his management for him, because he does strike me as the fella who lives and breathes everything almost to his detriment. Yeah. Like, he's talked before about not eating on the day of a match and not sleeping too well and that sort of thing. So, like, there is only so long a human body can.
Pep Guardiola talked about it at Barcelona. Yeah. 4 years seems to be the time where people's kind of hit that wall and he moved on from it as well. But
and the other side, it affects his family life as well.
Yeah.
Duffer, you know, maybe he needs that time away from football completely and just relax with the family.
Take a year out.
Do you know we had that international break recently for the two Ireland friendly, Senegal and Luxembourg? So that was the time that you mentioned earlier on where he's complaining about the players going off in a jolly. Do you think if he had left at the start of that window and just said, like, this has gone too much for me, and gave him like 2 weeks to get a replacement in, do you think we'd be having a very different conversation? Even though he would have left in the same mindset of, like, I just can't handle these players anymore, they're annoying me. Was the timing?
He could understand
here.
It more. I think as a player, he could understand it more. And maybe as a supporter, he's had time to let it mull. And he's come to that decision after a few days' break. But it's just the impulse after losing a game. As a player, you're looking and going, listen, we need you to dig us out of this. Your whole mantra has been, we're in this together, we're brothers. Yeah. I'm going to be here until I'm sacked. And then there's a bit of a downturn and you walk out the door. I think this is this whole thing being bull the whole time. You're talking like that as a player.
I want my manager in it with me for the whole a long haul. At the end of the year, he can turn around and say, look, I brought you as far as I can. I go, or if you're fighting relegation and they leave, I can understand. But they're still mid-table. Like, they're not a million miles off European football. So, as Barry said, you want your manager in it for the long haul.
But you've managed Shells. Like, if you felt the players weren't having it anymore, you would leave. No matter when it was.
Yeah, I mean, the players. The transfer
window. Players were only on 50 quid a week and 100 quid a week. That's, to be honest, like, you know, at Shells. And they went out and they won two league cups and things like that. And they put in performances week in, week out for me. And I never had to go out and criticise. Yeah, I did criticise the players after matches to their face in the dressing room. But I wouldn't have gone on TV and say and slotting week in and week out. You know, you might turn around and say, look, we weren't at it tonight. We need to do better. Criticise the team as a whole, but not individual players and call them out on it, like, you know.
Do you think that Duff's time at Shelburne has been overrated?
No, I don't think it's been overrated. Yeah. Like, he's, as you said, the accomplishments he's had coming from, he didn't get them up in the first division, but getting to Europe Cup final, win the league, it's so tough to get over the line and win the league, especially with a dominant Rovers. Now, Rovers are way off the pace last season, so it was going to be one or four Derry kind of Shells. Pats were up there towards the end, but it's not overrated because of what he's done, but he's just sullied it a little bit the way he's left. I'd feel a kind of a sense of loss, kind of it's taking a little bit away from the players. You're kind of downgrading our accomplishments by saying we're not at it this season, and that's the big kind of test when you're questioning somebody's professionalism. I think that's kind of diluting it a little bit.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, because the media stuff, I see what you're saying, put Joey O'Brien in front of the media and take a back seat, but that didn't seem that was Duffer's style. I think he knew that he was, not that it was an ego thing, but that he knew that he was the face of Shelburne and certainly probably for a lot of people the face of the league, and he almost felt that weight to go out and say something every interview. I don't remember an interview we did where people weren't talking about it the next day.
Yeah, but there was big media attention around it. Yeah. Of course there was, and as Barry said, you could have put your captain out, you could have put your assistant manager out. You know, you can always put other people out there to do the interviews for you. Take the pressure off yourself, and then you're not the centre of attention the next day about what was said in the papers and things like that. You know, as I said, there's a lot, whether it's Bradley, Rennie, Kev Doherty, not shaking hands with them, and then there's always something to say, oh, Duffer's had to say this about them. So there was always, a paper never refuses ink, as they say, and that was the thing. Once he came out and said something, they were straight on it like a lie.
If you're an underachieving club owner or owner of a club that's underachieving, would you be tempted to hire Damien Duff?
Style or him?
Him.
Here in Ireland?
Could be here in Ireland. It could be maybe Championship below.
I don't know. With it, like, you look at what he's done now. He's walked out of Ireland. He walked out of Celtic. He's walked out now at Chelsea. You're looking, going at the track record there. Listen, he's done well while he's there, but if you're looking for sustainability and to build a long-term project, is he the man to do it? Probably not. If you're looking at Champions League now, they have a great chance in that Champions League. They beat get through that first round against Linfield. You're looking at what Rovers did last season. You've got a great pathway to get to the Conference League knockout stages. Yeah. Like, that's what they would have been building towards at Chelsea. And I'm sure there's people behind the scenes listening going, he's been absolutely phenomenal for us, but the way he's left us now, we're in the lurch 2 weeks before a game. Like, do you want that as an owner? I don't think so.
I think a Championship club would do well to take him.
Would they?
Yeah, I do, because there's a lot more involved in a Championship club where you'd have more people, media, you know, that will help him out as well. And he does have an intensity he brings to the to the thing all the time. It's like, I suppose, Wrexham, the big thing about Wrexham when the owners come in, the big hype of it, Duffer brought that to our league, and he just needs to continue on. So I definitely think a Championship team will be
like one of his old clubs, like Blackburn.
Would he let people do that, though, the stats and things around it?
That's the problem. I think you'd have to. I think nowadays with managers over in England, they don't get a say in what they do and what they don't do, like, you know.
The really interesting thing was in the British newspapers on Monday morning, no sign of Duff leaving. I think there was a column in one of the red tops underneath a story that definitely objectively just wasn't as big, But for the British media, it really wasn't a huge deal. Like
Brentford rumours, wasn't it?
Something like that, Keith
Andrews maybe.
Keith Andrews. There was talk that he's going in with him, which was a strange one as well.
It was. But The Athletic did a big piece on Duff last year. It was a huge profile piece, just basically letting everyone know in England, this is what he's up to these days. But him leaving Shells in the manner he did didn't really make any impact at all in Britain. So, you know, would the Blackburn owners, I'm just using Blackburn as an example because they're in the Championship, one of his old clubs, and they're in a very tough time at the moment where they're in and around the playoffs but never quite make it, and would he take them over the line? Are they even realising really what the impact that Duff has in Irish football? Or is that something that would only really happen in Ireland for Duff, and as soon as he moves abroad, he just wouldn't be the same version of Damien Duff that we've seen? And it's a question that none of us can answer, but we...
I don't know whether it'd be tolerated by players abroad. Like, there's an emphasis
Is he a big enough name abroad?
I think he's... No, probably not. He's, like, here, he's the be-all and end-all. He's the profile he had coming back as a player, and everyone just wants to work with him. I got a call from him two years ago to go and work with him.
Oh, yeah?
And I'd retired and take my money back, so I couldn't do it, like, but... I wanted to go into that dressing room and see what he was like, so there is that about him, but as an Irish person, but whether it's there as a group of English lads and who are on massive money as well, like, are you going to take that from a manager when you're on that sort of money? I don't know.
Do you think there's a place for him, like, at clubs where, you know, because Duff almost went on like he was going to be at Shelburne for a decade, this was a long-term project, etc., but is there a place for a club to bring him in and say, look, we know you can't keep that pitch up for more than a couple of years, so... We'll take you for a 2-year contract. That'll be it. Walk out the door at the end of that and just get us back into a better position. Because it feels like Duff, he's not that... We've learned that now, as you said, the track record of leaving Celtic and of leaving Shelburne now as well. That maybe he's just a short-term fix for some clubs. Bring in that intensity for a year or two.
I don't think he can have that either, because you're not guaranteed the short-term fix that he's going to get.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe the other thing is, rather than managing, is put him on as a director of football or something like that in the background, where he still has an influence on what's happening on the team, where he can get the players in and he can go and sign players because he has that pull. You know, maybe Shells could have looked at something like that and said, well, look, take a step back from the management, we put you on as a director of football at the end of the season, see out the year, and then it's like a promotion for you that we put you up in the hierarchy and get someone else in that you suggest to take the team take the team on.
Shells go to Galway United tonight. We actually have live commentary of it too, off the ball from 7 p.m. with Jonathan Higgins and Brian Kerr. You mentioned Keith Andrews. That's a huge risk for Brentford, isn't it? I mean, it's fantastic for Irish football that an Irish player turned coach is getting this incredible opportunity in the Premier League, because we don't have much Premier League representation historically, never mind nowadays. Big risk though.
Yeah, it is, but when you look at Thomas Frank, what he did before it, he'd managed Bromby, managed the Danish under-19s and under-17s, and then was assistant manager at Brentford.
There's
a path there for him, and he obviously like to Ian Hoyer as well, but with Keith Andrews, obviously they've looked at him and his analysis, and by all accounts he's brilliant at it as well, and they're going with that obviously kind of money ball approach, and so for that in turn he's probably the perfect person to have it as well. And the thing about him is, I think he can be moulded. You're talking about somebody fitting into a club. I think at Brentford you've got to open yourself up to having these analysis guys beside you, having directors of football saying, this is the fella you need to play, these are the signings you're going to have. You've got to have somebody willing to say, yeah, well, I'll take that job on that basis. There's not many out there that probably would take the job on that basis, where you don't have kind of control over your signings on who plays in week in, week out. So in terms of that, he's probably the perfect fit for it. So
I think it's a massive risk for Brentford. You're talking about millions of pounds if they get relegated from the Premier League. Like, it's a massive catchment playing in the Premier League. If he doesn't start off right, then they'll start questioning things. Now, he's right, Barry, to saying about Brentford do their due diligence on people when they bring them in. And I was listening to a conversation during the week where Darren Bent was talking about it, and he said when he was on Sky Sports with him, he says analysis is second to none. He breaks everything down. He's very, very good at it. And the co-commentator actually turned around and said, that doesn't make you a good coach. And he's right, because now you have to put all that into play. As a set-piece coach, it's easy. You see where players should be and what they shouldn't be. But when you're making a split-second decision as players are playing on the pitch, it's different. So whether the players buy into it is another thing. But look, all we can do is wish him the best of luck and hopefully he gets a good start, because if he doesn't get a good start, it's going to be difficult for him.
Is it not more of a risk bringing in an outside manager, say from the continent, who has had some success at some European league but is unknown in England? Like, at least with Keith, they know him. They know what he's like. There's no surprise.
Ways, yeah, as you said, they know him. They know what he's about and know how he goes about things, and he'll know the infrastructure of the club and and continue with that on from where Thomas Frank left it. But then sometimes you have a European manager that can come in and has a lot of experience. So when things aren't going well for them, they know how to get out of that situation. Mm. And that's going to be the big thing. Because at times things won't go well for Brentford this year. You know, they're losing players.
They lost their captain, yeah, Christian Norgaard. Looks like Brian Mbeumo was going to go.
He's going to go. So he's taking the team that are losing their main players. So it's going to be difficult for him.
There is precedent, though. Dave O'Leary was an assistant manager at Leeds United under George Graham, and his first job was permanent manager of Leeds. And that went spectacularly
well.
He was a set piece coach. And that was a generational Leeds side that was fairly incredible.
It's funny how often that happens, isn't it? The assistant manager gets the job. Well, they want a bit of consistency. It only ever happens if the club's doing well and the manager leaves on his own accord, really. But yeah, I think he'll do all right there.
Do you think it's mad that it hasn't been confirmed yet, or is that just one of these things that happens? Because it's been for like a week that the thing he's set to be appointed, but it just hasn't been confirmed.
They're probably too busy, as you say, dealing with the signings and the players that are going, rather than saying, right, once that's all done, and then make that decision and say, yeah, we've got Keith Andrews in. He's our new manager for next year.
It's funny how people are like, you know, I've seen some people say, well, he's going to be a definite Republic of Ireland manager of the future now. But then if he has great success at Brentford, you know, managers can almost go to high a level. And then you're never going to be in contention for the Irish job because you're just not above it, but kind of above it.
Yeah, but it's good for Creevin as well. That's gone there. But we said a couple of weeks ago, we should have waited to see who the manager was. It turns out we were probably right. I was thinking, did he get any sort of sniff that he was coming in and Thomas was gone? But looking at his interview before, he was talking about meeting the manager beforehand and going through the analysis and how they want him to play with the manager, so that didn't seem to be the runner there. So it'd be interesting how they've obviously worked together, so it'll be good. And Nathan Collins in front of him.
Brentford will become every Irish person's second club this season. Does he need to prove himself to the players now as well, as much as everyone else? Because the players will know him from the year he's had already a set piece cult, so they'll have a fair idea of who he is. But he has to be more dominant now and more of an authoritarian figure, and also it's his first job in management, but these players want to be successful. So is he nearly on trial with the players as much as
I think, like you say, when you're a set piece coach, you do your business and you walk off, go home, and you're not thinking about anything else. Now you're a manager, you're thinking about everything, every player, the 20 odd players or 30 players, whatever you have, the underage teams, to organising training, to what they're eating, physios. There's a lot more to do with problems that come off the pitch, problems that are on the pitch, injuries. It's just, the list is endless, so it becomes a different kettle of fish for him.
It's like a personality change as well. I was at Pats with Liam Buckley, and Trevor Crawley was the assistant manager, and he got the Rovers job, brought me to Rovers, and I would have been slagging Trevor the whole time during training, calling names. But the first thing he says to me, you can't call me any of that in front of the lads, you know what I mean? That's gone out the window. So there is a change.
That's it, because when I took over Bowes had 30 players and there was two teams training all the time, so my first job was to get rid of 10 players. And I'm had to be in training with these lads and chatting to them, and the hardest part is going in and saying, look, there's no point in you playing here, you know, because you're not going to get a game, you're going to have to move on. So 10 players in the space of a week I had to get rid of.
Is management anywhere near as enjoyable as playing?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Enjoy playing. You love playing. You're going out and win the game, lose the game. You come off. If they lose, as I said, you're depressed, but you know you can affect it then the following week when you're going out playing. Managing, you're not having the same experience. You're just giving the information to the players.
Even when it goes well?
Even when it goes well, because you know now we're going to have to get ready for the following week. Whereas a player, you can say, great, won that game, bounce into the training next week, enjoy training all the way up, go out and win again. Or if you lose, sure, I'll be training again, and you get all the frustration out in training. Managers don't have that opportunity, getting all the frustration out unless they're joined in training. But I think if they do, they end up hurting people.
You don't get sacked as a player either.
That's true. Very true.
Unless Owen is in charge.
Galway United versus Shells live tonight, off the ball from 7 p.m. Jonathan Higgins and Brian Kerr in commentary. It's a full set of fixtures tonight in the Premier Division. So elsewhere, we have Bowes against Sligo Rovers. We got Derry City entertaining Drogheda United. Shamrock Rovers play at home to Waterford. And then down in Turner's Cross, Cork City, bottom of the league, play St. Patrick's Athletic lads, but form-wise, Pats are way down. So they've lost the last three. They haven't won in seven. What's going on with Stephen Kenny's side?
They're just so easy to play against. I keep saying it. You know, if you look at the goal that Derry got against them last week, Holt had the ball on the 18-yard box, made one pass past three Pats players. It was, the centre-forward, Melia and Kavanagh. One pass the three of them into midfield, into Winchester. Again, another one pass took out three Pats players into Duffy, who comes in off the line, plays it out wide, and it's three passes and a cross, and it's a goal. They're just so easy, they're so open to play against, and we've said it constantly for a long time here. They just don't give you that, you know, defensive, I suppose, keeper that's not confident defensively wise.
He looks soft,
down in Galway, I was looking at him, and he's causing two goals. They just look real soft. Yeah,
is that tactics or work ethic? The being so even to play against.
I think tactics. You need to say to your front three, come narrow and let them play down the sides. You need your midfield three to get tighter if you don't have the ball. You know, and you need your defensive. I watched the two centre halves for the goal last week, and neither of them come out to approach Duffy on the ball, and allow the fullback to come in to track Boyce, which allows the space out wide. Rather than saying either I'm going to the player or you go out there and make sure you go out to Gavin before he crosses the ball. Like so, a lot of communication, organisation, players on the pitch need to do that.
They need an overhaul. They need about 6 or 7 players in. They're not Stephen Kenny players. He came in last season, got a tune out of them, and now he's probably seen what the real standard is.
Yeah.
To need 2 full backs, probably another centre half, a couple of midfielders.
And two centre halves are missing tonight as well.
They're not his players.
They have a lot of good ballers, but they do seem to miss a fair few.
Yeah.
Moses Dyer's some last of the league, isn't he?
Yeah.
Scores Monday night, gets sent off, gone.
Yeah, it looks like he's going back to
Cambodia because he wants to get into the New Zealand squad for the World Cup, and so he feels if he plays there he's a better chance,
and Terry put a bid in for him as well.
Yeah,
Cambodian league that much better than ours?
No idea.
It's maybe
closer for him to travel to have a look at him.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing. Like, so he's going to a team that have won the league numerous times over the last couple of years as well, so he's probably thinking to get a winner's medal into his pocket at the end of the season for them.
Alright, that's great stuff.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
It's obviously a great moment for Keith Andrews. I think it's still a bit jarring for a lot of people, but I think what it is that it's also a great moment for set-piece coaches everywhere.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.